very faith that is given us is a gift from God. And that is one of the first things that's produced in our life of a fruit is our faith in God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Anybody feel like reading? Want to help? Boy, we need to set a coffee pot up and get everybody here 20 minutes early, and I'll make it and shazam everybody, and everybody be ready to go. No, Matthew 3, verse, chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm laying some ground, so we're gonna move through some verses here, but I want to get our brains thinking here. And God help us here, because that's what we need. And the more you get in God's Word, and that's the way it is, the more it dices and slices, and the more we see ourselves, and then we see that mirror as James spoke about, when we see ourselves, it's like, how many of you would have just woke up and looked at the mirror and says, well, I look fine, I'm ready to go to church, and just stumble on in the church house. How many people have done that this morning? Not a one of you. Some of you spent 20 minutes, some of you spent half an hour, some of maybe an hour, you know, of dicing and slicing and flipping and straightening and makeup and highlighting. And some of you spend more time, you know, in the mirror. But God's Word is like a mirror. It reflects what we see from it and allow it to shine through us that we radiate out. So, let's look at here. Matthew, who's speaking here? Who? Who's speaking? John the Baptist. Who wants to read for me? Let's start right over here. This young man looks just... Come on, Brother Josh. Can you read for us? You got a Bible open? And read verse 8. This was John the Baptist preparing the way for our Lord. And he's introducing something that they've never heard before. This is a man that also, he's crying in the wilderness. This is really interesting. He's wearing a girdle, hair down to here, beard down to here. He's probably got, you know, cricket hairs and honey dripping in his beard, and he's preaching, prepare ye the way to the Lord, bring me fruits meet for repentance. And he's crying this message in the wilderness. He's not even going in town at a church, but he's drawing a crowd. You look through there and study that. You see everybody. So there's guards there. There's Pharisees there. There's Sadducees. There's everybody comes to hear this wild man crying in the wilderness. So it's really, and he's crying this message, bring me fruits meet for repentance. Who's got an idea what that means? So Mike, huh? Worthy of. Very good. So bring me fruits worthy or acceptable for repentance. Something of your life that you are turning from and making good out of. In other words, something you're basically doing wrong. So the type of fruits here, we see there's a good fruit and there's a bad fruit. We're producing something from our lives, and whether it's good or bad, God sees it and others are seeing it too. So our lives can have rotten fruit hanging on it that's unacceptable. Who wants to go can rotten beans or rotten peaches or rotten apples this fall? Nobody? In fact, the only thing I can think of something rotten that's good is take rotten bananas, and it makes pretty good banana bread. But that's the only thing I can think that you can make good out of it. But anything else is just rotten. It's good for nothing. So what I'm trying to get everyone to think, what kind of fruit is being produced from our lives? And here's John preaching this, bring fruit meet for repentance. So this word meet means suitable or worthy. Let's look real quick here at Acts 26. Acts 26. And I'm going to read this and get into our prayer list, but I want our brains to get in gear because it's, and while we're thinking on this, and Acts 26 and verse 20. Let's start at verse 18 and read into it. Acts chapter 26. We'll start here in verse 18 and read into it. And he says, to open their eyes, and this is Paul, after Saul become Paul, and he is, who's he talking to here? Mr. Agrippa, Mr. King Agrippa, and who about got saved through this testimony? Mr. King Agrippa, he about did. And listen what he says. And this was the message. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Boy, don't that sound like the other Sunday school message, don't it? To turn them from darkness to light. What's God trying to get you to do? Ever since you've been saved, if you are saved, turn you from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, thank God for that they should repent and turn to God and do works. And that's what you said, brother. Works is another way to shine forth, is your works meet, here it is again, meet for repentance. So John cries out and he's blazing away for the Lord, and here is Saul, that's now Paul the apostle, preaching and getting folks saved, and he is preaching to a king here and almost gets him saved, and he says, do works meet or acceptable for repentance. Something we don't hear a lot of anymore is repentance no more, but thank God we still preach it and teach it because it's according to the Word of God. Now I got your brains thinking. Now let's get into our prayer list and we'll get back into it. Fruit for our Lord. Seed cannot do anything within itself. So bearing fruit, this way of letting our light shine, our work shine, and bearing fruit is something people see. If you go by an apple orchard and you see apples green on the tree, you know harvest time is ready to come. But a green apple, how many's ate green apples and got a sour belly out of it? Yeah, me too. They're good starting out, but after a while, though, you pay for it. But anyways, a good ripe apple, nice and red, and you shine it up, and ain't nothing prettier. You pick it off a tree, and you cut into it, and it seems like it's so full of juice, it just runs down the blade, runs on your hand, and pretty soon you're standing like this trying to eat it. Or a good ripe peach. There's nothing sweeter than eating a piece of fruit that is just perfectly ripe. So likewise, our life ought to be sweet and ought to be something delectable that someone looks at in our lives and they see fruit producing from our lives. And there's several ways in the Bible that we see we can produce fruit. And we see fruit meet for repentance and the fruit that God that's acceptable for repentance. So to bring our lives before God into, we're turning from this, get your brains back in gear. Give me some ideas. What are ways we can show fruit bearing? Break it more specific. The way we talk, what comes out of our mouth. Very good. That's another one. People see that. Now, should we do it to say, look at me? No, you do it for that. There's no fruit there at all. I mean, because the idea of God is watching, and God sees all, and He sees every detail of why we do. If we're putting offering in an offering plate, living our lives holy and acceptable before God, being kind, being forgiving, those are things people see from our lives that shows Christ, a way to radiate Christ. Now, if I was coming up here and say I'm taking this same lesson and say, around. You just need to get right with God. I just can't stand you, but you need to get in that book and you'd feel a lot better about it. My fruit's pretty rotten, ain't it? That's not, sorry about that, but I was using an example. But just to give you an example of fruit bearing, that was ugly. That's ugly fruit. That's not glorifying God. And this is what we need to be thinking about, a fruit bearing for our Lord. Who wants to bring glory and honor to God? Is that everybody here? Okay, well, that's then everybody here. You need to bear fruit. And there's good fruit and bad fruit. There's rotten fruit, undone fruit, but we want fruit that's ripe, that's pleasant, God sees and is pleased with. So let's look at, so we've seen where Paul here was preaching to King Agrippa, and he makes this statement that ye do works meet for repentance. And then we quoted Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. So it's something people see in your life. Now let us go back to Matthew and let's read together. This is going to get more interesting as the weeks go by. With Brother Mike's help, he's going to help me with this. But as weeks go by, there's something very important. Now, for any way for my life to produce fruit that glorifies God, what has to be right in my life? Relationship with God. And what's that deal with? But where's everything come from? Your heart. So for my life to produce fruit that's pleasant to God, my heart must be right. And we're prone to wander. In a day, I always wonder why Jesus always spoke that he prayed wee hours before daylight. He'd pray at noon, he'd pray at evening. But then I look at also David, David, he prayed in the morning, he prayed at noon, he prayed in the evening. Daniel prayed in the morning, prayed at noon, prayed in the evening. There's something there they are teaching us that, and you know why it is? I could start my morning off in prayer, in my Bible, and start off on a good note, charged today. I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol in my hand, and by the time noon gets there, something's happened different. To dump over my apple cart. And my apple cart's knocked over, and I wasn't as good as what I started out reading my Bible and praying. I had peace, I had joy, and now my apple cart's dumped over, and I need to start back over again my day. But that is life. So we must always keep our minds focused on what we heard that morning from God's Word, with what was our heart's attitude, because nothing else was interfering at that time. When Paul said, I wish that all men everywhere would pray without, how is that possible? That is someone that has a heart focused on God. So as soon as I step over to the other side, and I go, ooh, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't even went there. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I recognize it, I repent of it, and get right back in the light where I was. Because it's real easy to get ourselves in a dark spot. As my wife said, by what comes out of her mouth. What's a verse that said, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth, speak it. So from our heart, what's inside of us will come out of your mouth. I can be around a person 5 minutes and I can tell what's on your heart. Whether you're concerned about somebody or some things, but it'll come out of your mouth, you'll tell me. Whatever it is, you'll tell me. I'm not being a psychologist or nothing, but that's just proven fact. That's just what it is. That's what's inside your heart. You'll start talking about it. The things that matter to you, that's what you will talk about. So, we're in Matthew chapter 7. I believe that's where I'm at, yeah. Matthew chapter 7. Let's read Let's start reading. Let's read 13 and read into it. Because I think it all... Remember, if your book's got notes in it, the Bible's got notes. It wasn't broke up. It was one straight letter all the way through. It didn't have chapters. Didn't have verses. It was just written. It was the gospel according to Matthew. He wrote it out as he was led of the Holy Ghost. So let's read this so we can read into it and get an understanding of this. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Now he's talking about wolves. So he's talking about bad fruit. Things you'll notice from not, you'll know them by their fruits, who they really are, because their life will eventually show you who these people are. Do men gather grapes or of thorns? You go to a thorn bush and expect to get grapes out of it? No. Or you go get figs of a thistle? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So this evil fruit can be someone professing to know God. And according to this, it's evil fruit because their works, they're a false teacher, they're a false prophet, or they're, and we'll see here in a minute, they're a false believer. Period. Let's read on. A good tree, in verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So it's real hard for one to pretend they're one without showing who they really are. What it's saying. If this is an apple tree, it's going to produce apples. If it's an orange tree, it's going to produce oranges. If it's a grapevine, it's going to produce grapes. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. What fruits you're producing. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into... Now he's going to everyone, not just the prophets, and he's pertaining to what he just spoke about. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So according to what he's saying about a good tree and a corrupt tree, he's talking about somebody's producing, it's a good tree producing good fruit. Because he's still going on here, our Lord is. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, which is producing good fruit. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So it's really a scary verse to realize there's people in church doing many wonderful things for the Lord. But that's why I said, is why are they doing them for? Are they doing them for self? Or doing them to line their pockets? And we know the television is full of those folks. But it's no different with us. It's real easy to get someone to turn over a new leaf and try a new religion and think I'm in this religion. I've said the prayer. I've been in the baptismal tank. I'm good to go. And they've never been saved. They've never been born again. They've never, in their life will show, because their life will show producing good fruit on their lives. There's something that radiates, something that grows off of you that looks good, that someone can see, they see it from our lives, and it also satisfies someone else. So in our actions, what we do, how we talk, a kind word goes a long ways with someone. Just being kind to someone. There's a guy at work. Oh, Brother Al, the guy that's wife's nine, today. He keeps averting me. God set it up. He finally pinned us in the locker room where I was cleaning, and I got to speak to him, and he stopped. And this, I said, his wife's dying of cancer. I mean, and he's leaving work. She's on radiation. She's on chemo. And she calls, and she's real sick, so he leaves work all of a sudden. It's sad. I mean, to see his face, he's drained. He goes, man, it's so hard just to go to work sometimes. And I said, boy, I said, we're praying for you. I asked the church to pray for you, that God would help you and strengthen you. And he goes, boy, he goes, man, I really need it. I need it real bad. And then listen. And then I said, do you know the Lord? He goes, oh, yeah, but without him, I wouldn't be able to even stand. I went, okay, that's good. And I said, what about your wife? Does she know the Lord? He goes, oh, yeah, she reads the Bible every day. She prays more than I even thought about it. And I said, well, that's good. And then he started opening up. Their pastor just died of cancer. So he's had a lot of hard hits. And we kind of went through it. One of our former pastors, his wife did. I mean, 36 years old, 4 kids, 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 4-year-old to a 2-year-old. And the 2-year-old probably never even remember mama. 36 years old. She's in eternity. But anyways, God allowed me to see some fruit that I could be a blessing by. All them kind words I'm trying to speak to him, he plucked one off and said, thank you. Did you see that? He got some fruit off of me. And he said, thank you. He stopped and finally smiled. He said, boy, thank you so much for those prayers and them kind words. It meant everything to him. That somebody's there. He's not there at work alone. That he can't fit in because everybody there is mostly sinners. I mean, they seem to be. Because by their mouth, they pretty much tell who they are. It don't take long, does it? But he got to see some fruit, pluck it off, take a bite, and sit there and savor it while he spoke to me. That's fruit. A kind word. To your friend, sharing that burden about her boy. Bringing him to the Lord. That's evident. And your friend that you care so much about, and she's desiring to get a Bible and seek God from God's Word. She's seeing fruit that she's plucked off of you and said, you've got something I need and I want to bite at it. Ain't that beautiful? Beautiful. See something in you that she desires and needs. Every one of us here ought to be bearing fruit where you're at. Your workplace people, you're with people, you're around that you see, they ought to see something in you that they can take a bite out of. And I'm out of time. Fruit bearing. The whole message before the Lord was, bring ye fruits meet for repentance. Acceptable to repent of. So what's in your life? Keep me from bearing fruit. Now we turn to this verse. I've got to read it before I go any further. I have to. It's one of those things. Matthew 6:19, real quick, read with me. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we can't bear no fruit till a heart's desire to bear fruit. By our speech, by our actions, from our lives, kind word. For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. What did we say earlier? For with the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's inside someone, they'll tell you who they are. Real quick, it don't take long. So where your treasure, where is your treasure? Everybody said they wanted to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. That'll be our heart's desire, is to bear fruit for our Lord. Lesson 1, bearing fruit. Let's pray. Father,